Well, again, it is wonderful to be able to join you this morning as we enter into a period of study from God's Word. If you have an opportunity, you can go online to our website. You can take a look at the outline that's been provided for you. You can download it if you want, and then you can follow along and fill in the blanks as we go along in our lesson today. And maybe if you are looking on the screen, you can see that we're going to be talking about puppy love this morning. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28, and you'll understand what we're going to be talking about. Now, maybe when you saw the screen that said puppy love, and that's the title of the lesson, your mind may have gone to a variety of different places. But initially, what I want to do is I just want to bring a little happiness to your life, a smile to your face, because what makes us more happy than to just see puppies? You know, and I think that right now our world needs to smile a little bit. We need something happy in our life. So maybe you can take a look at this. Maybe this will bring a smile to your face to see a couple of little puppies like this, you know. Or maybe we look at, oh, isn't that cute? You know, isn't that sweet? You see that puppy, it just makes you smile. You know, here are my two puppies. I've got Gibbs. And there's Allie. Allie's the goofy-looking one over on one side. And then she's 4 months old. She's going to be huge. But these are my puppies. And you know what? Petting puppies and holding puppies, they just make us smile, don't they? And you know what? We love to have pets. Many of you probably do have a pet at your home. And you take care of it. And it snuggles up in your lap. And you pet it and feed it and take care of it. And if something were to happen to that puppy, you'd be a little depressed. I can remember there was a time when one of our pets was getting very old and needing some medical attention, and took it to the vet, and they said there's just nothing that can be done for this pet, and we had to have that pet, you know, put to sleep. Well, I can tell you, I shed some tears that day walking to the car, because that dog had been a part of our life for many years. And you know what? We kind of get attached to our puppies, don't we? And to our pets. Well, I wanted to open with that so that you could have a smile on your face. But now I want to draw your attention, and hopefully you're going to see how this relates when we get through with the lesson today. I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. Our story takes place in the district of Tyre and Sidon. Apparently, Jesus has withdrawn there, most likely to escape the mounting hostility from the Jewish religious leaders. He had been preaching in the area of Galilee, and now we find here in Matthew chapter 15 that some of the scribes and some of the Pharisees have traveled from Jerusalem, and they are questioning his disciples, they are questioning him, and now there's this rising hostility towards Jesus in his ministry. And so it just seems like to get away from that, to get away from all of the hostility, to take a break, he moves and goes over into the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now, we call that the Phoenician area, and we'll mention that as we get a little bit closer in our lesson text or in revealing that. The story also that's recorded here in Mark as well is unique because it shows Jesus traveling into Gentile territory during his earthly ministry. Now, go back through the scriptures and read through the gospels, and you're going to find that Jesus' ministry really took place around Galilee and in Judea. There were some excursions into Idumea and there into Perea. There's the Perean ministry. But Jesus contained his ministry really to the area of the Jewish people. And now we find that he's taking this excursion outside of that territory, and he's going into another area, into what would be considered Syro-Phoenicia, and to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And this is one of the few times this is recorded. In fact, this story is only recorded in Matthew and in Mark, so it's unique to those Gospels, and this is a unique occasion for Jesus when it comes to his travel. Now, what happens next is one of those stories that for many is very touching. We certainly can relate to what's transpiring here, and then a little bit perplexing. Maybe we're baffled by some of the things that take place in the story here of the Canaanitish woman and Jesus, or as Mark calls her, the Syrophoenician woman. And we're a little baffled by that. And so we're going to take a look at that this morning and try to pay attention to some of those things. Our goal is to emphasize the well-known morals of this story while clearing up some misconceptions about this passage that will better help us maybe understand the text and understand what really was happening there in this passage of Scripture. So let's do a little story review, if we could. And that story review is going to involve this woman, this Syrophoenician, this Canaanitish mother who comes to Jesus on this occasion. Picking up in verse 21, "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is crying after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' She said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed instantly." You know, the first thing that we can relate to in this story, and that touches us so much, is the state of this mother. When she shows up there and she appears to Jesus and she confronts him, you get an opportunity to see the deep love that she has for her child. Now, we've talked about a love for puppy, but that's different when it comes to the love of a child. I mean, we love our children, and this mother has this deep love. And so when she appears here on the scene and she comes to Jesus, she is crying. She is in tears. This is not just her walking up and saying, "Hey, listen, I need to ask you a question. Can I give you some kind of request?" She is desperate. And we see this deep love. And she understands that her daughter has this demon possession. And there's really no hope. What is her hope? And so she comes to Jesus and she says there, "My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." And she's in tears and she's crying. How many of us have been there before? How many of us have wept over our children? Maybe because of something that's happened to them. Maybe because of an injury. Maybe because of a surgery that's taken place in their life. And we know that they've had their struggles and their difficulties with this. And we hurt for them. And this is what's taking place here with this woman, this mother. Maybe you've not experienced this in a physical sense, but maybe you've shed tears spiritually for your children. Maybe there have been occasions when your children have not lived the way that they should live when it comes to God. And maybe in that case, we look upon that as being demon-possessed. You know, they're not living for the Lord. They're living for the world. They have allowed the sin and the evil and the wickedness of this life to infiltrate them. And now they're not right. And we have hurt in the past as parents. And I know that many of you have. We love our children. And whether it be in a physical sense or in a spiritual sense, there have been tears shed because they've been so enslaved by something. And boy, you can feel the deep love of this mother on this occasion. And maybe the desperation here in her voice as she comes to Jesus and her daughter is severely oppressed. So we get an opportunity to see a mother's deep love. The second thing we get to see is a mother's desperate plea. A mother's desperate plea. She comes and initially she says there, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Please, I am begging you, have mercy on me." And then the second statement that's made there is, "O Lord, Son of David." Now, here's my question. Here is Jesus in the region or the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now, this is not where his ministry had been established. His ministry had been established in Galilee. There had been some excursions into Judea. There was going to be some excursions over on the east side of the Jordan River later on. But as we know it, Jesus had not been doing any ministerial work there in the district of Tyre and Sidon. But now we have this woman, and she comes, and she identifies him as the Son of David. "O Lord, Son of David." How did she know? How does she know? Here's this Canaanite woman Well, I guess the obvious answer to that is this. His popularity had spread so far. People had heard about the things that had transpired in Galilee. News had traveled, and it had traveled even to this place, that there is something special about this individual. And so she comes, oh Lord, maybe she's heard about somebody else that's had a demon possession being healed. Maybe she recognizes that there has been news or there's been word spread in that area of a man who can heal people of their lameness and their blindness and whatever other infirmity they may be suffering with. And here is her chant. Here is her hope. And she comes and she says, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Desperate plea. A desperate plea. You know, it should be the plea of all of us, right? Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. But here's this mother. The story reveals her deep love, her desperate plea. The story further reveals a mother's determined mind. A mother's determined mind. You know, initially, she's ignored. When she comes up and she says, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. It says, but he did not answer her a word. He just kept on walking. He kept moving along. He didn't say anything. So she's ignored. Next, she really just becomes an annoyance after that. When you think about the passage of Scripture here, listen to what it has to say about her. So the disciples came eventually and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. Apparently she didn't stop. She was ignored. You know, most of the time that you hope when you ignore somebody that they get the message, right? You know, hey, Steve, I love you, Steve. And Steve doesn't acknowledge me. You know what initially I'm going to do? I'll probably go turn around and walk away because Steve didn't want to talk to me. He didn't pay attention. Not her. Oh, no. She wasn't going away till she got somebody's attention. Steve. How annoying would it be? Steve. Isn't that annoying, Steve? You just want to go, okay, Chris, yeah, I see you, right? So that you can get me to stop. Well, that's the way it was for those disciples, right? I mean, here she's crying out. She is begging. And she's continuing to do this to the point that finally the disciples come to you and say, listen, you got to send her away. She's annoying the fire out of us. Reminds you of the persistent woman, right, in Luke chapter 18, who went to the judge and she just kept on and kept on and kept on till finally that judge says, fine, have it your way. Persistence, determined. I'm going to be here until somebody acknowledges me. I'm going to be here for the sake of my daughter. I am determined. She had a determined mind. She was seeking the right person too. And she was determined that she was going to get his attention because she needed his help. And she wasn't going to stop till she got it. And you know what? That's what we need to do as well. I'm determined that I'm going to follow Jesus. That I'm going to beg for mercy from Jesus. I'm going to try my very best to have him acknowledge me, to recognize my need, and I'm not going away until I can be involved with Jesus, have his attention. We finally come to this last point here about the mother. We see a mother's devout faith, her devout faith. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about that in a few moments more, but she kept on. She truly believed that Jesus could do what she needed him to do and wanted him to do. And she had faith. And she continued in that. And Jesus is going to acknowledge her faith. In fact, when we read through the scriptures, and she came and knelt before him. I mean, we got her initially coming up and saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." And he ignores her. And she continues, and the disciples finally say, "Listen, you need to send her away. I don't know. The idea may be that she's kind of standing off over there, and as Jesus ignored her, and maybe the disciples have surrounded Jesus to kind of keep everybody from buffing him and maybe getting in his space or in his area. And maybe she's standing off the side, but she sees the disciples go there, and they're having some kind of communication, and maybe she recognized that the talk is about her, and so she's not going to miss this opportunity. So she just throws caution to the wind, and she goes and she runs and she just kneels down. She kneels down. "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed immediately. The about faith. Jesus acknowledged this. And you think about that. Jesus acknowledged the faith of this woman on another occasion in the Scriptures. He acknowledges the faith of the centurion, both of which are Gentiles, who truly believed in him and believed in his ability. And he recognized their great faith. Two instances where Jesus acknowledges that. And those two occasions are from Gentile individuals. So we see here the story's revelation of a mother's deep love, desperate plea, determined mind, devout faith. Then our story moves to Jesus' mission. And I hope that this is where we will come to understand a little bit more about this story that maybe sometimes is baffling to us a bit. Why is it that Jesus ignored her? Why is it that it took the disciples coming up and say, "Hey, you need to send this woman away"? Why did it take her coming and running and falling there? I mean, her daughter was demon-possessed. You know, maybe a little bit, there's a little bit of you know, misunderstanding for us, and maybe we're a little perplexed and baffled by this, but I hope that we'll be able to clear some of this up in what we're going to talk about. Number one, we want to talk about what Jesus' mission was. Now, when Jesus came here, he even identifies what his mission is. His mission was to come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what he was there to do. That was part of the plan, to come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, he leaves and he goes into the area of Syrophoenicia and to the district of Tyre and Sidon, but you kind of get the idea that he's just really trying to get away. He's trying to escape the hostility of the Jewish leader. Maybe he needs some time to just relax. Maybe he's been involved in this ministry and he's human, so he's got to take some time to recover. And so he's just trying to get away. So we see his mission to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel first demonstrated in his silence. This is a Gentile woman. His purpose is to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He identifies that purpose. It's demonstrated in his first answer. What does he say to her initially? "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's what I'm supposed to do. That's why I'm here. I'm fulfilling this purpose, this will of God. This is what I'm supposed to do. Lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's also demonstrated in his second answer. Now, in that second answer, I want us to think about a couple of things here. She comes and she kneels before him and she says, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now, that statement probably, if you're honest with yourself, makes you a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? When you think about this and you think about Jesus turning to this woman and saying to her, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." It's kind of a inflammatory statement, we would think. You know, we're not comfortable with that when we think about Jesus. That maybe doesn't fit our mindset. But what we've got to understand is, he had a purpose he was trying to serve. He was identifying that. And there may have been reasons for that. Reasons that I don't even understand. But let me tell you something else about this statement, and maybe we have seen it more as an inflammatory statement. Maybe we've been uncomfortable with it, and maybe it's not as bad as we've made it out to be, and others have made it out to be in the past. So I want us to take a look at this. Did you know that the Greek word here for dogs is actually this word kynarion, and it means puppy dog? So what Jesus was saying here is he was not talking about wild dogs or scavengers or that were roaming the area and nobody wanted to be a part of that were dirty and filthy. No, he was actually using a term that referenced kind of like a household pet. Now, we just talked about at the very beginning, right, how much we love our household pets and how we take care of them. And so here Jesus is not saying something as ugly as what people have made it out to be. What he is just stating, though, and what we see that the woman seems to understand about it is, I am here for a purpose, and that purpose was to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who I'm supposed to feed and take care of. That is the purpose for why I'm here. But then she makes her statement. Yes, Lord. Yet even the puppy dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I understand your purpose. I understand that you were sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We've not been blessed with your ministry, with your presence. It's been there. That's where it's been focused. But you have come to this area, and we'd like to just be able to partake of the crumbs of your ministry. We know it wasn't for us. We know that we're not the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But you've come to this place, and if you're just here for a short time, we're thankful to have that experience and those crumbs. And so Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Now, we see Jesus' mission demonstrated in his silence, in his first answer, in his second answer here. We also see it demonstrated in the follow-up stories that take place in verses 29 through 39 of this very same chapter. Because after this incident happens here in the region of Tyre and Sidon, Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountain and he sat down. And the great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet. And he healed them. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. The God of Israel. Notice that. Look at the difference in response to those who came to him in Galilee. There was no ignoring. There was no attempt to dissuade. Oh, no. They were brought to him, and he healed them all. And then you follow that up with this. He fed them all. Because we go right in from this story into his healing all of the people that are brought to him as he's sitting there on that mountain, preparing to talk with them and healing them. And now we go to the story of him feeding the 4,000. He blessed absolutely every single individual that was there that day. Now, what's the message? What was the message then? And what's the message for us now? The message to the Jews and the Gentiles was about the blessings of being among God's chosen people. The blessings of being a part of God's people. Now, how does that translate for us today? I think it translates into us thinking about the great blessing of being a part of Christ's church, His family. Those blessings. You know, when you go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we find that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ Jesus. Guess what? The spiritual blessings of life only apply to those who belong to Jesus. That's it. Now, people may receive a blessing from others who are Christians. They may receive the blessing of forgiveness from somebody. But when you think about the true spiritual blessings that will carry you through eternity, they are only found in Christ. And I think it's important for us to appreciate that and recognize the joys of being a part of that association, of that family. Church, we're not relegated to the crumbs. The rest of the world is. They get the crumbs of what good comes from the people that love God and that are trying to do good, and they get all. But let me tell you something. As Christians, you are not relegated to crumbs. You're a child. You have the opportunity for unlimited and unbelievable blessings and privileges as part of His kingdom and His people. So today I want you to think about that. I'm thankful for this story. I'm thankful for this woman's great faith. Certainly it teaches me a lesson about how I should love. Teaches me about how desperate I should be about seeking out Jesus. It teaches me how determined in my mind I should be about finding Him and following Him, and how devout I should be in my faith. I hope that we'll think about that, and I hope that we'll decide that this is how we want to seek Jesus. So I'm thankful for that story, and I'm also thankful for the illustration that teaches us that the blessings that you're going to find from Jesus are going to be found within His family, within His kingdom. Now, that kingdom is open to all men at this time. He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel there, but He died for the world. And the invitation and the opportunity to be a part of His family is extended to every single person today. What a blessing that is. So if you're not a part of that family, we want to encourage you and invite you to become a part of that family by repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, being baptized to wash away those sins. And if it's the case that your faith has fallen by the wayside and maybe it's not been as strong and you've not been living the life that you should live, then go to God in prayer. If you need the help and the encouragement of members from this congregation or leadership or elders or deacons or the ministers, let us know, and we want to pray with you and encourage you. We want you to be right with God. We want you to enjoy the blessings and the privileges of being in this family. And so if you've not done what you need to do to be right in this family, we invite you to do that and encourage you to do that. Appreciate you listening online, and those of you that are here this morning, we're going to turn it over to Steve as he will sing a song of encouragement for us as we stand.